The Houston Rockets split their series against the Sacramento Kings over this past weekend, losing the first matchup, then getting revenge in the second matchup, despite a bit of deja vu to start the game in the second meeting between these two teams, kind of feeling like they might be headed for a second loss, but then grinding out the win. Takeaways from both games coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. We sincerely thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day, free and available on all platforms as well as on YouTube. Search Locked On Rockets on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. So, Rockets splitting their series against the Sacramento Kings, losing the first matchup 126-114, and then kind of going through some deja vu in the second matchup, ultimately grinding out the win 118-112. But things felt eerily similar to start that second game Sunday, not a Sunday matinee, but you know, kind of an early Sunday tip off, right? 5 p.m. local time, Houston time. It was, you know, kind of weird, but right, Rockets come out, you know, have a huge start to both of these games and then basically let go of the rope in the second quarter, let the Kings get back into it. Difference was they were able to fight back and actually come away with the win in the second meetup. But I've got takeaways from both these games. One specifically to do with Christian Wood and his foul trouble in the first game and how Steven Silas handled that. I want to talk about KPJ being dialed in clutch moments, the return of Gary Bird, Jalen Green and his touches in the fourth quarter of games, and then Alperen Şengün and how he's looked in his two games back from injury. But this second game, they were able to come away with the win, and it was kind of a flurry to end the game with Kevin Porter Jr. hitting a clutch three down the stretch, then subsequently turnover, missing a shot. Jalen Green soars in and makes what I think is the, you know, game-winning play. Gets a rebound, resets it. Eric Gordon hits what would become basically the game-winning layup for the Rockets. Here's Steven Silas's reaction after this game.
Yeah, Garrison got the free throws and got fouled on the three, made a three. Eric, obviously, and then Scoot made a big three off the step up when they went under. So, like, really good team win. One of the plays of the game to me was Jalen Green's offensive rebound towards the end when we've been talking a lot about his ability to kind of use his athleticism to change games and to get more opportunities. And that was a huge, huge rebound that he got, but definitely a complete team win. I mean, you go down the list of Eric, JT, Seawood, Scoot, Jalen, KJ, Alpie when he was in Garrison. I mean, just a solid team win and a really good trip. I mean, 2 out of 3 on this trip is progress.
Progress indeed. 2 out of 3. We haven't been able to say that much this season for the Houston Rockets. So I in agreement with Coach Silas here, the Rockets down the line, you look at everybody who played in this game and largely everybody contributed in some fashion. I will say that Armani Brooks continues to struggle from three, and that's not a great sign, unfortunately, although, you know, need to give him some time to kind of ramp back up. It's unfortunately that he missed time due to, you know, COVID-19 health and safety protocols, then came back, then missed more time. And so that's just kind of brutal, right? As a shooter, especially trying to get back into the rhythm of things. So going to hold out, you know, judgment for Armani Brooks, at least for a little bit longer. But this Rockets team is finally at a point where they're going to be able to start getting some practices under their belt. They had gone through a stretch where they played, it was, if my math was correct when I was tallying things up, it's like 18 games in 31 or 32 days, something like that. And that included six back-to-back sets of games. So the Rockets were able to play Friday night against Sacramento, have a good practice on Saturday. They were able to go over the film and then approach Sunday's game differently and kind of understand and have a better grasp of how they were going to do things, especially on the defensive end. It really felt like they were able to step up defensively in this win against the Sacramento Kings. And it kind of felt like their offense let them down in that second quarter, which is why the Kings were able to kind of get back into things. But they were able to dial in the second half and really come away getting some stops, stringing together some stops when they needed to in this game, as opposed to the first meetup between these two teams. And again, practice is such a key thing for this Rockets team because they're so young, because they frankly at times just don't know what they're doing on the floor, right? So not being able to, having these, you know, ridiculous stretches of the season where they just haven't been able to squeeze in a single practice because they've been traveling, because they've been playing, you know, so many games, five games, seven nights, that kind of thing. It's ridiculous to think that they're going through a stretch now where they're going to have multiple days off, right? Where they don't play again until they see the Utah Jazz Wednesday night. Then they play Friday night. Then they don't play again until, I believe, it's Monday. So they've got like a huge chunk of, games where they're just going to have time off and time to be able to like sit down and get some practice time. And that's going to be really big for this young group of guys. But that finishing sequence of the game, I come away thinking it's really big for, you know, Jalen Green to be able to have moments like that, to be able to impact winning and not necessarily doing it with his scoring. Although one of the points that I do want to get into is, you know, concerning his fourth quarter touches. And I'll save that for a little bit later on in the show. But the first point that I want to bring up here is Christian Wood. And it's about that first game against the Kings. And Christian had it going early in that first game. I mean, he was on fire, right? He had like 12 early first quarter points, something like that. He was killing it. And unfortunately, picked up three early fouls and had to sit for the rest of the first half. Steven Silas decided not to play him again until the third quarter. And I think there was some frustration with that decision from Steven Silas to not, you know, put Christian Wood back in the game, especially based on, you know, how well he was playing. We saw some Daniel Tice minutes after Alperen Şengün got his first, you know, stint of run back in the Rockets rotation. And ultimately, I don't understand the frustration here because, look, I'm not a proponent either of, okay, like a player, you know, they get their two fouls or they get, you know, their three fouls in the second quarter, four fouls in the third, and you got to sit them immediately. No, right? I'm usually a fan of the idea of, okay, let the guy play with the fouls, right? You know, he's going to have to be a little less aggressive defensively, but if he's aware that he's got the fouls, right, and he's a big part of what you're trying to do on the floor, especially on the offensive end, let him stay out there, let him keep playing. Steven Silas already did that with Christian in the first quarter, right? Christian picked up the two early fouls in the first quarter. Steven Silas left him in. And then a minute later, Christian picked up his third foul. So maybe you make the argument Steven Silas should have put Christian Wood back in the second quarter, you know, right? So that he could have kept his rhythm. And unfortunately, it did look like it impacted Christian's ability because he just was completely off in the third quarter, didn't pick it up again until the fourth. By then, it was too late. But ultimately, I'm not upset with how Steven Silas handled the foul situation on Christian Wood in that first meeting, right? Because he did trust Christian Wood to not pick up the third foul, and then he did pick up the third foul. So what are you going to do, send him back out there with three fouls in the second quarter and risk picking up his fourth foul? No, I think it's a completely different dynamic when you're in the game and say you pick up your third foul in the second quarter and you're like, okay, you just picked up your third foul. Be conscious. He can't pick up your fourth before halftime. But in this case, he had the three early in the first quarter. I think it was the right move by Steven Silas, even though it cost Christian Wood his rhythm. I stand by that decision. I think it was the right move by him. But coming up, I do want to talk about some of the other takeaways, especially from this second game, the win with KPJ, Gary Bird, the return of Garrison Matthews. Nice to have him back. Finally, Jalen Green's touches in the fourth quarter and Alperen Şengün and how he looked across these first two games. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Shopify, because look, Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, right? So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility with Shopify. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. So go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA. That's all lowercase for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of amazing features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, where we thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, go check out Locked On Now. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. Listen to the Locked On Now podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch it on the new Locked On NBA YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On NBA, find the podcast there. You can also search Locked On Rockets on YouTube, find the show there. So continuing on here, not breaking down the games per se, since it was kind of two of them, but just some of the takeaways from this slate of games, I should say, against Sacramento Kings. And, you know, frankly, the way that the Rockets were able to grind out this win in the second meetup against the Kings was really impressive, given the fact that they still turned the ball over an ungodly amount of times. Like, you normally expect to turn the ball over 22 times and come away with a win. Like, I come away thinking the Rockets honestly had no business winning this game. They had 10 turnovers in the third quarter. Like, on the night, you know, they gave up 34 points off of their 23 turnovers. Like, it's shooting yourself in the foot repeatedly with these turnovers. And shout out to Ryan Hollins, who was absolutely like in his bag commentating this game against the Kings. Had so many great calls, and he continues to just be, I haven't been able to enjoy the commentary from he and Craig as much because I've been at so many of the home games this season now. But overall, like, when I'm able to like tune in for a road game, right, he and Craig Ackerman have developed such a great chemistry together. And some of just the calls in this game from Ryan, just talking about, like, you know, especially as the Rockets were having that turnover ridden, like, third quarter, I think it was, where he said, you know what, just at this point, just set the ball down and kick it into the stands, because that's better than committing a live ball turnover and having to defend in transition, right? Because the Rockets were doing that repeatedly in this game. And that's how the Kings were able to stay in this one. And that's how they were able to get back into it in the second quarter, because the Rockets just kept turning the ball over. And it's, you know, not necessarily like, at times it's careless turnover. Sometimes it's pressure from the Kings defense, but, you know, it's just tough, right, to see the Rockets not give themselves a chance to win with the types of turnovers that they're committing. But again, able to eke out a win in this one off of, you know, some clutch performances down the line. But a big part of the Rockets' win in this one was Garrison Matthews, who is finally good to have Gary Bird, Gary Legend himself, back in this game. He finished the night with 17 points on 4 of 6 shooting, all of his shots coming from beyond the 3-point line. Was also 5 of 5 at the charity stripe, and had that one really kind of scary moment where he got fouled by De'Aaron Fox. It was ultimately ruled a flagrant 2. So, but Gary Bird, I mean, he hit the deck and he went down hard. Like, we've seen Garrison Matthews get absolutely like thrown about on the basketball floor. I mean, he hits the deck like multiple times every single night, but this time, like, he went down and was like in pain. I mean, I was worried for him when I saw him go down. He was writhing in pain on the floor for a minute, and I was really worried that he was like injured, but he got up and subsequently, you know, hit the flagrant foul free throws. And then moments later, he comes up and drills a 3 off of a dribble handoff set. And Ryan Hollins, again, you know, great calls that night. Set, you know, goes, he's got one arm, one hip, a bad back, you know, and still hits that shot. So it was great to see the return of Garrison Matthews. He, I think, coming into this second matchup against the Kings was like 1 of 13 or something, you know, coming into this game from the floor shooting wise, just really struggling to, you know, piece together a solid performance. And so to come into this one and to, you know, lay his body on the line, both obviously with the flagrant foul, but he had a couple solid drives in this game. Had one where he had a dish to KJ Martin, where KJ was able to finish inside. So just a solid overall game from Garrison Matthews in this one. It was nice to have him back. On the flip side, I want to talk about Kevin Porter Jr. and how he continues to kind of rise to these clutch moments. KPJ had it going early in this game, hit multiple threes from the jump in this one. And overall, it felt like KPJ was really dialed in early in this game. And there's something about Kevin Porter Jr. when he's got like the focus and the attention to detail early in a game, like you kind of feel it and you feel his presence more so in a game when he's got it going early. Finished this one 23 points on 6 of 12 shooting, was 5 of 9 from the 3-point line, 6 of 6 at the charity stripe, and then he had 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, did have 6 turnovers, including that one turnover late in the game, unfortunately, that led to some free throws for the Kings. So, you know, overall, though, it's been really nice to see KPJ in these clutch moments, and it does feel like he's got that like X factor, right? Like he's built for these clutch moments. Now, I will say, and this kind of feeds into the point that I'm about to dive into with Jalen Green and his fourth quarter touches, it does kind of feel like KPJ is, while he's ready and willing to take on these clutch moments, it feels like we need to see maybe less aggression from him and him getting Jalen Green a little bit more involved, especially late in these games, because we've seen a lot of these games where Jalen Green just doesn't get touches in the fourth quarter. So I do want to focus in on that with Jalen Green and his, and his lack of touches in the fourth quarter. But I want to stick with things here for KPJ for just a moment, because it is an encouraging sign, right? To see KPJ, you know, have the game winner against the Washington Wizards, right? Have the clutch threes, late against the San Antonio Spurs and coming away from with the win there. Then to hit the clutch three with, you know, minute and a half left in this game against the Kings, to be able to rise to the occasion and have those moments where he's fearless. And to me, I will say, I noticed this kind of during the game, it really does feel like at times, like you can really tell when KPJ's shot is going to go in, like something about it, the way that he pulls some of those threes, sometimes they just look incredibly pure, especially I feel like off of catch and shoot threes. I think he's shooting like somewhere around like 40, 41% off catch and shoot threes this season. So, but when he catches the ball in rhythm off of a clean pass from one of his teammates, and he's able to just rise straight into his shot, it looks so pure when it goes in like that. And then likewise, when he's got, you know, when he's breaking down a defender off the dribble, or when he's, you know, walking straight into his shot, it's almost like when he's made up his mind that he's going to shoot the ball, it looks a lot better versus there's sometimes when he's got that like hesitation, right? Am I going to shoot? Am I going to pass? Am I going to drive? Like, what am I doing with it? And those are the shots where he, you know, isn't squared up. He doesn't, you know, he's not shooting with confidence, and he's got like a bit of a turn almost, like he's almost like leaning into the threes at times. And those were the ones where it feels like they're going in a bit more. Like when he, again, catches the ball in motion, rises straight into his shot, those are the ones where the moment the ball like leaves his hands, I'm like, oh, that's going in. Like I can tell immediately that shot is pure, it's good. And so it's just, you know, getting past whatever, like maybe it's a mental block or something, but just leaning into that confidence, because KPJ is not a guy that lacks for confidence whatsoever. So leaning into that confidence and, you know, embodying whatever it is about those threes that are going in, he needs to keep it up, because it's been great to see, and he has been huge in some of these clutch moments. Need to clean up the turnovers a little bit, absolutely. You know, not a flawless game from KPJ by any stretch of the imagination, but that said, great to see him shining in these clutch moments for the Houston Rockets. So coming up, I do want to talk about the Jalen Green minutes, not minutes, I should say, but the shot distribution in the fourth quarter of these games, as well as Alperen Şengün and how he's looked in these first two games back. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar, because look, It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions, right? If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your New Year's plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar, because Built Bar makes it so easy to stick to your resolutions. It tastes good. You're going to want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or gritty, or the consistency is a little off, right? The flavors, they've got so many to choose from when it comes to Built Bar. Strawberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, peanut butter, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. You can't go wrong with a single flavor on their menu. You can check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off of anything on their site. Best protein bars you will ever try. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And another message from our friends over at betonline.ag, because BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website, where when you sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON, you get a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% bonus on your very first deposit. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Now, for your second listen, go check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Make a little money with Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling, free and available on all platforms. Wherever you listen to this podcast, you can listen to that podcast. So, I kind of dove into it a little bit there, talking KPJ and kind of the end of that, the end of the Kings game and some of the shot distribution, right? But when it comes to Jalen Green, like, he didn't attempt a single shot in the fourth quarter against the Kings. And I think some of this bleeds into the, I've mentioned it before, it doesn't feel like there's a true understanding of like the pecking order for this Houston Rockets team, and being the rookie of the bunch, like Jalen Green isn't going to, or hasn't, I guess, to this point, like put his foot down, and he's not like, I'm the number one option, like I should be getting the most shots, right? But in this game against the Kings, one, Jalen had what felt like a really productive game. I mean, he had like so many drives in this game where he felt like he was just blowing by defenders. I mean, it was like the Kings defenders weren't even there. Like multiple drives where he just takes off. And when he turns on the jets, I mean, he is just gone. Multiple really quality finishes at the rim. He had the one dunk where he completely like just took off from like mid court, completely blew by his defender and just rose up for the slam right at the rim. Was one of three from the three-point line, had five rebounds, one of which offensive, the game-winning offensive board on the reset where he kicked it back out to Eric Gordon. And then he had four assists, and he had some really quality passes in the pick and roll in this game, creating for others. So it's really nice to be able to see Jalen Green impacting the game and, you know, leading to a win. And it doesn't have to necessarily come from just his scoring. That said, for the type of game that he was having, I don't understand why it's so tough for him to get some shots and for why his teammates don't necessarily look for him in the fourth quarter. I'm not expecting Steven Silas to sit here and draw play after play after play for Jalen Green in the fourth quarter, but to go with no touches down the stretch of a game, like that part doesn't quite make sense to me. It doesn't sit right with me. That said, it's not like Jalen Green hasn't had his opportunities late in games to deliver, right? Like he had, you know, obviously the clutch buckets against the Lakers. He had the, obviously most recently, the play against the Washington Wizards, the one where KPJ hit the game winner. That play was drawn up for one of Kevin Porter Jr. or Jalen Green. So it's not like Steven Silas like doesn't trust Jalen Green in these big moments or, you know, down the stretch of games. I think it's, again, more so about the guys on the floor, which is why I kind of harped on KPJ about it a little bit as the point guard, right? He needs to kind of be more so willing to get Jalen involved down the stretch of these games. And again, it's kind of just, there's not really a clear pecking order as to who the shots are supposed to be going to. Obviously, Rockets fans would love to see the shots go straight to Jalen Green. And I think that's been kind of a topic of contention as of late, where Rockets fans are thinking, oh, well, Jalen Green needs to take all the shots, you know, down the stretch of these games. And it's, he can't learn if he's not doing that. And frankly, I don't buy into that whatsoever, right? Jalen Green being out there and having the opportunity to make a winning basketball play to, you know, to score the offensive rebound and give the Rockets, put the Rockets in position to win this game, to put the ball in the hands of a veteran like Eric Gordon, who makes the game-winning play, or, you know, game-winning bucket, you know, pardon me. I think those are great learning opportunities for Jalen Green. So just because he's not out there, you know, taking the, you know, last handful of shots in a close game doesn't mean he's not learning from these opportunities. That said, I would like to see his teammates focus on getting him involved a little bit more down the stretch of these games. So that's my point there on Jalen Green. Overall, really impressed with him in this game. Again, the drives were something else, and then his ability to continue to impact the game in other ways has been great to see. Let's get to Al P for last. Don't know why I had to have Al P tucked all the way at the end of this podcast, but here he is. So first two games back for Alper and Şengün, and my biggest takeaway when it comes to these first two games back for Al P, it kind of feels like his teammates forgot how to play with him. Right? Like seeing him out there, and, you know, he had some turnovers, unfortunately, you know, in both of these games, you know, not his best outings, you know, not necessarily, I don't want to call it rust, but it does kind of feel like his teammates have forgotten how they need to play when he's on the floor, right? Because it's very different how they play when Alperen Şengün is on the floor. Having a guy that is that level of creator, facilitator, passer, all the different words for, you know, his great playmaking ability, having him out there, they have to play around him and off of him. And both outings against the Kings, it kind of felt like things got really stagnant when he was on the floor, because they play a very distinct style, or they used to play a very distinct style when Al P was on the floor. And it didn't feel like there was nearly enough movement happening when he did have the ball. Now, granted, again, he had a couple turnovers, and, you know, he's probably a little rusty having missed, you know, a couple weeks off. He needs to get back in the flow of things and get back up to speed. But his teammates didn't exactly do him any favors, right? Like, he had one turnover where he, you know, picked up his dribble and was kind of like forced up against the baseline, Kings defender kind of forcing him, you know, towards the baseline, and nobody was moving towards the ball, right? Like, Al P is a guy that will thread the needle and get you a pass. All you have to do is cut, and nobody was moving. Everybody was stagnant, standing around, like waiting for something to happen. And I think that's a, you know, unfortunate side effect of him not having been in the rotation these past couple weeks, is this Rockets team, when Alpi's not on the floor, they play a very, at times, stagnant level of like five out offense, where it's like five out isolation, drive and kick, move the ball side to side, but there's not necessarily like guys cutting and looking for motion off of these like post ups or like high post opportunities with Al P. So it's going to take a little bit of work, but they need to get back into the rhythm and get back into the practice of what it's like to play with Alperen Şengün on the floor again. So that was kind of my takeaway from these first two games with Al P back on the floor against the Kings, is it looked like his teammates kind of looked a little lost out there as far as like how to play off of him effectively. So I'm sure it's going to take, you know, another couple games, you know, a couple game or two to get that figured out. I'm not worried about it. It's not like a gigantic red flag, but it's just something that I noticed, you know, a takeaway that I had. And it was unfortunate that we didn't get to see Alperen Şengün have, you know, one of his, right, insane jaw-dropping passes that we're so accustomed to, because, again, it just, you know, felt like his teammates and him weren't on the same page, right? The chemistry that they had built, especially in that second unit, Al P, DJ Augustine, KJ Martin, especially those two guys have connected on so many passes this season. It felt like it was rusty. It felt like it wasn't there. So they'll build it back up again, you know, very quickly, I'm sure, but just something to keep an eye on moving forward. So with that, that's going to do it for today's episode. Look forward to our next episode, where we break down some of the trade possibilities surrounding Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, and, you know, a potential, you know, far out wild trade proposal. So be on the lookout for that one. As always, appreciate you checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also check out the new Locked On Rockets YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.